Shasha, the rabbi is here.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, wonderful. I love hearing that song.
Same here. By the way, his name, the singer, is Morris Goldstein.
How much Jewish can you get?
How much Jewish can you get, and how old can you get? Because this song was from the late 30s.
Oh, late 30s?
Late 30s in New York.
Okay, a little bit before my time.
Yeah, before my time too. So,
anyway,
Parshat HaShavua, Rabbi.
So we're going to talk about the Parshat HaShavua, which is Tazria, which is actually very interesting because we don't really get it very often, but this week, actually, in the synagogue, we're going to take out three Torahs because we're going to read the portion of the week. It's also Rosh Chodesh, the new month, as well as an extra portion that we read certain times before certain periods of time, which is Parshat HaKodesh. So it's not even Simchat Torah time. If anyone wants to see the unusualness of taking out three Torahs, this is the week to go. So in this week's Torah portion, it continues talking about the discussion of the laws of Tumah v'Tahara, which is ritual impurity and purity. Tzaraat, which is often mistranslated as leprosy, is a supernatural plague which also can afflict garments, not only the individual person, garments, houses, so on and so forth. And how do we know that someone has that, or that someone isn't pure and then becomes pure? It's the Kohen alone, only the Kohen, pronounces if the individual person is Tame, impure, or Tahor, which is pure. And it's something very interesting. As I just said, this unusual illness identified by a white patch appearing on the skin of a person that was symptomatic of a profound emotional and spiritual blemish within this individual person. Obviously, this plus other secondary symptoms determined the person as being temporarily impure and require him or her to separate themselves from the community, so and so, and go out. And the Torah says, as I said earlier, that only a Kohen, a priest, a descendant of Aaron, which is the high priest of the tribe of Levi, of Levi, he was the only one that was authorized to diagnose a Tzaraat leprosy and pronounce it the way that it is and making that person, individual person, impure. Even in a case where all the symptoms of the illness are clearly present and a multitude of scholars recognize it as Tzaraat, the person cannot be diagnosed as possessing this impurity unless a Kohen states so explicitly. That's just amazing. This is so interesting because the ramifications of this biblical law are far-reaching. Because, for example, as the Talmud, the Gemara talks about, even if the only Kohen priest present is a child, so that he is unable to examine the person in question, a trustworthy scholar needs to report his findings to the Kohen, and it is only the Kohen who may pronounce the white patch person as impure.
You okay?
Yeah. Excuse me, I have a little bit of a cough.
Yeah. You want to drink some water?
No, I'm okay.
You're okay.
Even if the only Kohen around is a shoter, someone that is unknowledgeable, someone that is nothing, he's lacking the knowledge and understanding, required to give a diagnosis, it is only he who is entitled to make the verbal pronouncement under the instructions of the guidance of an adult scholar. So the question is, why was the Kohen so indispensable to to this process. Shulam is a scholar who is more familiar with the symptoms of this issue. He should be trusted more than a child Kohen, who can do nothing more than utter a diagnosis determined by someone else. What is the need here of an expert in these illness and symptoms? Maybe we can do it with someone else, not a priest. So, more than 3 millennia ago, the Kohanim, the priests, were charged with the mission of blessing the Jewish people. To this day, in the Holy Land in Israel, every morning service, the Kohanim, the priests, we don't do it in the diaspora, but in Israel it's done every morning, where the Kohanim, the priests, spread out their hands, and they extend divine blessing on their Jewish brethren. We, over here, in this side of the world, we only do it on holidays. So.
And that is called the Birkat HaKohanim?
Right, the priestly blessing, correct. Yeah. And the Kabbalah explains that the reason the priests were designated to be the conduit for divine blessing is because their souls evolve from the higher chamber of love, granting them a unique ability to cultivate compassion and kindness towards others, hence making them uniquely suitable conduits for God's love and grace. And this is the reason for the Jewish law, which states that a Kohen who is disliked by the congregation or dislikes the congregation is forbidden. He's not allowed to bless the people. Why? Because the negative energy that surrounds this individual Kohen may severely obstruct the flow of the blessing. And indeed, the blessing recited by the Kohen, the priest, prior to them saying the priestly blessing, he says, he, God, obviously, commanded us to bless his people Israel with love. And the Zohar in the Kabbalah explains that this is also the reason for the tradition that an unmarried Kohen could not serve as an agent of the Jewish people performing the service in the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Because in order for the Kohen to be worthy of this extraordinary position, he needed to fully develop his innermost capacity for love and selflessness. And as it's brought down, it's only through marriage that a person has that wife, because in that one learns to share one's life with another human being, that a person is challenged to bring out their full potential for caring and affection. And, you know, when an individual person is unmarried, you can be extremely kind and sensitive. Everything is good. But at the end of the day, you have the luxury of just retreating back to your own place and do things your own way. You don't have to answer to anyone, just to yourself.
Yeah.
So that is why only the married Kohen, who is charged with the responsibility of serving God in the Jerusalem Holy Temple. So now, we'll understand, based on all this, what the Torah says, that only a Kohen has the ability to diagnose another human being as suffering from this illness and render them impure. Because the Torah is imparting to us a very critical lesson. Before you diagnose another person as being spiritually ill and deserving temporary isolation, you must make sure that your heart it's filled with love towards this person. Why? Because for it's only then that we are certain that your diagnosis, what you're saying, is not coming from your own bias or lack of refinement. It's objectively true and thus productive and beneficial. And it is only then that you will no doubt search for every possible way to rehabilitate this wounded individual person, which is now impure. Because it is easy to define somebody as impure if you don't understand their pain. Before you punish, you must first learn how to be a Kohen, how to really care about others. When criticism, punishment, and even dismissal are motivated by concern for the person rather than your own rage or incompetence, it will have a totally different effect on the other person you're punishing. Because your criticism will build rather than destroy this person's character. And what is equally as important, you will not see Saleba that situation be reversed, an individual return to his or her potential glory. So I think that the next time we have to criticize someone, stop and ask ourselves, are you doing this as a Kohen out of concern and care for the other individual person, or as a result of your stress and anger? If that is the case, you have to remain silent until you can transcend your selfishness and enter into the world of the other human being. And that is why specifically it can only be done by the Kohen and not by someone else. I think that's such an important lesson that us as individuals, we can learn in our life.
Rabbi, Pesach is approaching.
Pesach is approaching, which is very, very soon. We have 2 weeks from tomorrow night will be the first Seder. And so obviously we have our first annual community Seder, which is done Friday evening. We have evening service at 8 o'clock, Seder starting at 8:15. Obviously, it's a little bit later this year. We have the leap year. There are certain times that you can drink the first cup of wine, so on and so forth. Anyway, all are welcome. Whether you have you're a Seder veteran and you have the answer to all the four questions, or maybe you're someone that has 40 questions of your own that you want to try and answer, I think that's what we are. It's a stimulating and satisfied Seder. We have a selection of 5-6 different types of Israeli wine. We have the handmade matzah, dinner catered by Mazal. And the cost is, if you reserve before April 12th, which you can go online to winterchabad.com and you can reserve, pay everything online, at $40 an adult, a child 12 years and under is 25. After April 12th, it's adult 45. And a child 30. So get yourself in beforehand. It's always an amazing experience, not only for the people, but also for me, because I'm learning. We hear so many different questions and different insights. It's beautiful. Yeah. And I wanted to say no one will be turned away due to the lack of funds. If someone cannot pay for a full Seder, that should not be a reason why you should not come. Please come, reach out to me. I have sponsors that are willing to sponsor individual people. So everyone, no matter who you are, where you are, should be at a Seder on Pesach.
And that is a big mitzvah to support those.
100%. You know, there are many people in our community that people do not know struggle financially, as well as they also struggle, obviously, through the year. Pesach is even more.
Yeah.
And there's a few people that have reached out to me. I have donors that are giving me money specifically
for that,
to help these people, and we do it in a dignified way, giving them food, giving them some gift cards, giving them matzah wine. So if there's anyone, no one should be in the community that does not have, even if they want to do it by themselves at home, they should be able to do it in a dignified way, and I will make sure that you have whatever is needed, but please reach out to me. I know some people, I don't know everyone that needs, and there is money there to help. So it is, and if anyone wants to help sponsor or give money towards helping people in the community, speak to me, and obviously your donation is tax deductible. I know it's a little bit early, but June 23rd, we're just getting the word out. I'm announcing for the first time, because everything that we do, if I have the ability, Dijon Boker Tov radio show is where we announce it first.
Yep.
So we're going to be bringing out a speaker. And he's going to be, it's going to be a fascinating, incredible, eye-opening presentation. Operation Thunderbolt, the miracle at Entebbe. Remy Sherman is a officer commander of the IDF elite unit, and he will share, because he was there, he was right behind the Mercedes, he came down in one of the first airplanes.
Wow.
He will share his first-hand accounts of how Israel pulled off the greatest hostage rescue in history. It's happening. We're going to be using the Jewish Community Center Sunday, June 23rd. 7 o'clock, doors open, refreshments. 7:30, the presentation by Mr. Rami Sherman. Admission is $10 online, $15 at the door. You can buy tickets at windsorchabad.com or call 519-256-2572. No membership or affiliation is required, and the event is open to the whole public.
That sounds great.
This will be an incredible something to listen to. You might have had questions, so he will talk about it, and then as well as he will also answer questions. So I think he brings a slideshow presentation. This is one thing that I truly think you do not want to miss.
Same here. And I wanted to ask you about services this weekend.
We have services Friday evening, 6:45, Shabbat morning, 9:30, and Sunday, 8:30 morning, followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday, 7:15 in the Paris House. A great way to start the week.
Rabbi, I want to wish you a safe and warm weekend, and Shabbat Shalom.
You too. Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye. Bye-bye.